Thanks for dropping by, and welcome to Solve Crime's new series, Caught After Death, where we'll profile criminals who were positively identified for crimes they committed after they died. In 2018, California law enforcement found incredible success sending DNA of an unknown murder and assault suspect to a public genealogy and genetics research website. They were able to narrow down to genetically close relatives of the suspect, and eventually to the suspect himself. After surreptitiously gathering DNA from the man, it ended up being a match, and they arrested Joseph DeAngelo, also known as the Golden State Killer, for 12 murders and over 45 assaults. As you can imagine, this caused cold case detectives worldwide to jump into action, attempting to solve decades-old unsolved murders. One such cold case unit was the El Dorado County Cold Case Task Force in California, which encompasses the South Lake Tahoe area. They had two murders with assault from 1977 and 1979 that shared the DNA of one unknown suspect. In February of 2019, they announced that they had genetically matched Joseph Stephen Holt to the two murders. Joseph Holt's name was never on any list involving the murders, not as a witness, not as a suspect. Holt had quite literally gotten away with at least two murders that we know of, all the way to his death from a heart attack in 2014. He was never interrogated. He never saw his name in the newspaper or on TV. He never saw the look of disappointment and horror on his family's faces. He never wore handcuffs. He never had a perp walk. He never ate a prison meal. He never sat at the defendant's table in a courtroom. He also never endured listening to a victim's impact statement. All because he was caught after death. This is Solve Crimes. Joseph Stephen Holt was born and raised in San Jose, California in 1947, way before there was even the slightest hint of the Silicon Valley tech mecca it would eventually become. He was a student at Cupertino High School and went on to graduate from UC Berkeley. Holt moved to South Lake Tahoe, which is on the California side of the lake, in 1974, began a career in real estate, and eventually married and started a family. By all accounts, Holt led a seemingly normal life. His friends and family had zero idea that he was also a killer. South Lake Tahoe in the 1970s was a very different place than it is today. Yes, there were casinos just over the state line into Nevada, and there was plenty of glitz and glamour there, but South Lake Tahoe, California still had a quiet, local, hometown feel. In the past 70 plus years, South Lake has gone from 300 people to 22,000 as of 2019. Trees were cut down to widen roads, build shopping centers and hotels to accommodate the tourism that completely overtook the town. In the mid to late 1970s, South Lake Tahoe was still relatively small and certainly a safe place. People didn't lock their doors or their cars. The term serial killer was still far from being a regular part of the country's nomenclature. There was still an innocence. 27-year-old Bryn Rainey moved from Ohio to South Lake Tahoe, California in June of 1977. 1 month later, she would be dead. Bryn was working as a keno runner at the Sahara Tahoe Casino. On the evening of July 23, 1977, she stopped by the Bitter Creek Saloon around 10 p.m. before she started her 2 a.m. shift at the casino. She never made it to work. 1 month later, her body was discovered by horseback riders near the Sunset Stables. She had been assaulted and was either suffocated or strangled. Bryn Rainey's brother, Pete Garl, said, "Finally, after 44 years of hell and back, we have some answers." A junior at George Whittle High School, Carol Anderson was only 16 years old on the 30th of June, 1979. Carol started out that Saturday with friends at Regan Beach in South Lake Tahoe. Later, she got a ride to a party on Regina Road near Heavenly Mountain Ski Resort. Joseph Holt lived on Keller Road at the time, roughly a half a mile to a mile away. Witnesses say that several people offered Carol a ride home that evening, but she declined, wanting to stay at the party. She was last seen at 11:30 p.m. that night. No one noticed if she had left on foot or with someone else. The very next morning, her body was found less than 4 miles from the party. The teenager had been bound, assaulted, and strangled. In 2019, Carol's family made a statement. Almost 40 years ago, a beautiful, vibrant teenager was taken from her mother, older sisters, younger brother, and younger sister. Unfortunately, relatively quickly, the case went cold, and while from time to time it would be revisited, nothing could be found, until about a year ago. It was at that time that an incredible team of four investigators from the El Dorado County District Attorney's cold case files, and through all of their hard work and efforts, they were able to give the family some answers and closure, and ultimately allow Carol Anderson to rest in peace. Joseph Holt was 30 years old at the time of Brin's murder, and 32 when he killed Carol. He owned and managed rental properties in the area, making it fairly easy for him to move around and even disappear for however long he wanted since he was self-employed. He didn't have a 9-to-5 job where there could be witnesses to his absences. He was a very successful predator, said District Attorney Vern Pearson during an El Dorado Cold Case Task Force press conference in Placerville on February 25, 2019. So what do you think the odds are that these weren't Holt's only victims? Joseph Holt is also a suspect in an attempted car burglary that went wrong in Los Gatos, California, a small suburb south of San Jose, in January of 1975. The owner of the car called police and interrupted the burglar, who drew a pistol and shot at the victim and his friend, hitting one of them, but not critically. Police arrived and there was a brief gunfight. The would-be burglar dropped the pistol and was able to escape police. It turns out that the pistol had been reported stolen by a cab driver in South Lake Tahoe. No one died in that altercation, but the police sketch is pretty dead on for Holt, who was known to frequent that area at the time. A rough estimate based on several sources, including a December 2020 article in Discovery Magazine, said police only make an arrest or clear a case in justice jargon in about 60% of all homicides. The other 5,000 end without closure. In other words, murderers have a 40% chance of getting away with murder. Clearly, Joseph Holt defied the odds. And if it weren't for the advancements in forensic science, law enforcement, and even Holt's own family would have never known of his murderous ways. In the November 2020 issue of Psychology Today magazine, Scott A. Bond, Ph.D., writes about how some serial killers simply stop, and for various reasons. Bond actually corresponded with Dennis Rader, a.k.a. BTK, Bind, Torture, Kill, who confessed to killing 10 people between 1974 and 1991. Apparently, there is no evidence that suggests that Rader killed anyone between 1992 and 2005 when he was arrested. In Bond's article, he says that Rader admitted to him that he engaged in autoerotic activities as a substitute for killing. So what do you think? Do you think that Joseph Holt killed before Brin Rainey and Carol Anderson? Do you think he killed after he murdered them? Law enforcement is revisiting cold cases throughout South Lake Tahoe, all the way down to the San Jose area, in hopes that they can match other murders with Joseph Holt. According to El Dorado District Attorney Vern Pearson, there are still 60 unsolved murders within his jurisdiction alone. If you know of an assault, missing person, or unsolved murder case that you think may fit the geographical area, timeline, and profile of Joseph Holt, please contact the Cold Case Task Force tip line at area code 530-621-4590. Thanks so much for listening to the Solve Crimes podcast. One thing that makes this podcast a bit different is that we are actually involved in investigating and making every effort to solve several cold cases. This is real stuff we're working on here. So when we say that liking our podcast or our YouTube channel, subscribing and sharing helps, it's about getting these cases in front of more people and hopefully getting some closure, even justice in some cases, for the families of these victims. If you'd like to support this podcast and our efforts to solve cold cases, there's information and a link in the description. Our website, solvecrimes.tv, has more information on the real cold cases we're working on. We really do appreciate you liking this episode and subscribing. Be sure to check out the video version of this episode coming up on our YouTube channel, Solve Crimes TV. There's a link in the description. Until next time, this is Solve Crimes.